Let's stretch our hearts and our hands out to the Lord today. We are in Resurrection Month. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our friends and family being here today. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the movement of the Holy Spirit and sending your Son Jesus to die for our sin. We ask, Lord God, that each heart be touched in a special and intimate way, and all those who are watching the broadcast from at home or wherever they're at, we lift them up in prayer too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's applaud the Lord, would you? Hallelujah. So, super cool thing is we have six messages in the month of March. I'm not going to get into the bulletin, guys. There's too much in there. Just take it home, put it on your refrigerator. A lot going on. Just tons and wonderful blessing. I thank God that I am in a church where people love Jesus and aren't afraid to express it. And people that love the country. So, I'm going to ask Taylor to come down here so we can pray for her. She's going to be deployed tomorrow. And, Mommy, you can come up here with her and just sit right there. And we're going to get some hands. Ladies, come up and we're going to lay some hands on this young lady. And let's stand up and give it up for this young lady going to be out there. All right. Father God, I just want to pray for this precious young lady and so many others like her going to serve our country. And as you deploy her, Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of God, Almighty God, be upon her and bring her back safely to her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's applaud the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so we bring our families to church so they can, and thank you, Carol, for being up here. God bless you. Love you, sister. Carol's also served our armed forces, so praise God. Not only to learn about Jesus and learn about the country, but just learn about what's important, and that's standing up for the things that God wants us to stand up for. And so you know that freedom is not just something that you inherit.
Amen.
Freedom is something you fight for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we do here at this church is not only stand for freedom and stand for the cross, but we stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. So we not only honor our country, but we honor women and children at this church as men of the church to keep them safe and vow to keep them safe. Amen?
Amen.
So I would challenge the guys to get into some of the guy studies that we have. We got the garage coming up March the 18th, and we got the Man Up Bible study that Greg Bjerk's doing out in Moscow and all that kind of stuff. And I'm glad we got a strong support of men in this church, and we got our men's retreat coming up in April and all this kind of stuff. So I'm really moved by all the young people who want to join the service and serve our country, because so many times you see on the radio and you see on TV about young kids not doing the right thing. Well, this young lady's going to do the right thing, so thank you for that. So isn't that cool? We got one of the youngest service people in our church and one of the oldest person, Mr. Cope, who now is 95 years old, who has served in the war. Wow, it's pretty dang cool. And obviously got a lot of people in between. You know, they're all over if you'd looked around here. They know who they are, and we love you guys. Thank you so much. So let's get into this and talking about, go to Isaiah 53:7 and maybe I can explain some of this. There's so much in here in the month of March. So how do you do this when there's a lot done? What do you do when there's a lot of content there? In the month of March, you're going to have to take notes, you know, whether you keep them on your phone or keep them in the bulletin, whatever. It's important that you understand what it is God's trying to say to you today. And a lot of you guys are smarter than me, so I have to keep notes of what God said to me each day. So I can review these notes, I can apply them to my life and to my family's life, and then I can apply them so you guys can hear them, and you guys can take some of this with you as well. Amen. So if you see something today in the message, it'll be the Holy Spirit working through me and then to you, and you either write it in the margin of your Bible or write it in the note place in the bullets, and I think it's vitally important. So let's read in Isaiah 53:7, and we'll have a little fun with it, but we'll get a great message out of this, and then we'll go over to John 1, chapter 1. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like sheep that before its shear is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So we know this is a prophetic word from Isaiah about 750 years before Christ. And when I say that, I also have to be reminded that this is before Christ, but Christ knew this was going on. Christ knew this would happen. He knew that Isaiah would write this because he was actually before Isaiah and before the whole history of the world. Amen? So some of this stuff may freak you out just a little bit as we get into it. But know this, that God, say it with me, God is in control. You know, and I was, I was up here, and one of the little Robbins kids, is it Jackson? Jackson was up here, and he was walking around, and he said, Pastor Pat, how old's Jackson? He's seven. So he knows a lot when you're seven. He said, Pastor Pat, on each side of the cross of Jesus when he died, there was two other people, and they were thieves. And his mommy and daddy taught him about that, and that's just wonderful to share that. And it'll be important that you take some of this and share it with your little people. Amen? So let's get into it. So he was oppressed, like some of you are, oppressed or pressed on. Maybe you feel like you're going through some evil, or there's some evil that's pressing you, some situations that may be pressing you, or something may be going on in your life. Jesus understands because he went through it as well. So here's the prophecy of what's to come. He was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. So I'm thinking about this because me and my wife been doing these, you know, these devotionals as we head towards Resurrection Sunday. There's a lot of content there. And I thought about the power that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ actually possesses. Amen? And he's able to wield a lot of power. And I thought, wow, that would be great if we had that kind of power. Amen? But here's the problem with that. Close your eyes and envision this. You're driving down Highway 70, and you're going westbound, and somebody cuts you off in traffic. Open your eyes. We don't want you having that kind of power. Amen? Or you plug in, maybe there's just a husband and wife spat, you know, you spent too much, you went to Bass Pro Shop again, whatever the case may be, and you're... It's kind of like I Dream of Jeannie, you know, where she goes like this and only God can wield this kind of power and possess this kind of power. And watch this, he never used it for his own benefit. And I don't know about you, when the thieves came around and they're in the Garden of Gethsemane and all these different things, you know, they're coming with clubs and sword, and I'm Jesus, I'm sitting there, it's like, you know what, dude, man, let's go ahead and get it. That's a term for guys. Let's go ahead and get it. Girls are like, what's he talking about? I mean, if I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane and these guys got torches and lanterns and clubs and they're coming to get me, I may lose my place here in history and wield a little power their way. How about like this? Or whatever. You know, call on legion of angels, whatever. Dude, you ain't going to run that on me. Amen? And he had to do it this way for all the prophecy to come true. Otherwise, it would be totally different. We wouldn't have the, you know, these books of the Bible and the Old Testament, all these kind of things. It had to go just like this, and he had to rise 3 days later in order for the Christ to be the Messiah. Or he would just have been another person who died on the cross. So all this stuff has to happen this way, and it has happened this way, or it will happen this way. Everything that is written in this book is not only God's love letter to his kids, but to warn us for future. Amen? So take this love letter and take it as a history lesson for you. Know today that God is going to fulfill prophecy. Amen. Let's finish what he says here. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So all the way into the cross, you know, he could have said all kinds of things. They were asking him who he was and all that, and he never opened his mouth so he could fulfill this prophetic word so you and I could be saved, so you and I could conquer sin and death. And those who are alive in Jesus are alive forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, not only for our sins, but so we could conquer all the things that are going on down here on earth. We pray, Lord God, for a sweet movement of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you educate us, keep us safe, and give us wisdom beyond our years. We pray a blessing on the offering today and the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's applaud the Lord and let the basket come by. Turn with me into the book of John, chapter 1. So, I want to tell you a little bit about the Lamb of God. Jesus is depicted as the Lamb of God, and we know back in the Old Testament there had to be a sacrificial lamb for the Passover. It had to be pure and spotless, and it had to be perfect in all its ways and everything. And that, back in the Old Testament, was just for the covering of sin. Only Jesus could remove sin out of your life. That's why he had to be sent. Amen? I want you to rise with me so we can pray for this word, and then we'll get into it. John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 29. Father God, we pray today for a movement of the Holy Spirit as the word is spoken. We pray, Lord God, that we receive it and that we make it applicable to our lives. And we pray for our family members who wasn't able to make it today, and those who are sick who aren't able to make it with us today, and would ask, Lord God, that you would touch their lives and heal them. In Jesus' name, amen. One more shout to the Lord as we are seated. All right, John chapter 1. So, this would be a good place for you to read if you're a new believer or not a believer at all and trying to figure out what's going on in the Bible. I think just about everything is complete here in the Word of John. And as you hear me speaking on this word today, I challenge you to challenge yourself to get more involved in the things of God as we move forward here in America. Amen? We're going to need this word to navigate the turbulent waters that are going on out in society right now. We're in a very vulnerable place right now, and it's time for God's people to rise up and take back this republic that the enemy's trying to steal. Would you agree? In the beginning was the Word. So right here, Word is capitalized. That means Jesus. So Jesus has many names. One of them is the Word. Say that with me, Word. It's just one of his, it's one of his names. And we know that when you have a Bible, you are holding the Word of God in your hand. It's God's love letter to all the people that are out here. And I told the first service this. It'd be like you getting a Valentine's Day card from your husband or your wife and just leaving it on the counter and never opening it. That would be dangerous if you're married. You have to open the Valentine's Day card to find out what your spouse has said to you. Amen? And if your spouse has to tell you to open up the card, you're really in trouble. Valentine's Day can go south in a minute. We would love that card. Yeah, I read it. It was good. You want to make sure that you're opening this Word. So when God asks you about his kingdom, you know something about it. Amen? If you're wanting to get there, you have to read the instruction manual. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is claiming, God's claiming that Jesus and him are one. Right from the beginning. So here's a trick for you. The beginning as you know it. Not the beginning for God, because there is no beginning for God. Amen. Hold your head like this so it doesn't fall off. You're like, what's he talking? This is getting crazy. Here's how I say this. Mary's the mother of Jesus, but Mary's not the mother of God. Hold your head again. Hold on. What I'm trying to tell you is God has no beginning and he has no end. Amen. Nobody created him. He's the creator, and everything after him is his creation. Nobody can create the creator. Ask me to stop it and I won't. Amen. So here it is. So now listen. So And here we're getting ready to talk about John the Baptizer. And the last prophet was the Old Testament prophet of Malachi. And he told everybody to, hey, Israel, you know, get back on and do the things you're supposed to do. They couldn't even grow crops. They couldn't make any headway. It's kind of like working overtime and doing all these things. And they couldn't get anything to grow or anything. They were cursed. Israel was cursed. And they were cursed because of their sacrifice and because of their attitude. Say attitude. Yes. What they were doing is they were instead of bringing the best lambs that they had in the flock, they were giving the old one. Hey, Johnny, bring the old blind one with three legs up here. We're getting ready to do a sacrifice. God's like, don't bring that here. Don't bring that trash here. I told you about that before, haven't I? So, I mean, you guys don't do it, but people go to other churches. They want to bring Spam instead of steak. They want to bring Vienna sausages instead of bratwurst. They want to bring deviled ham. And my dad ate all these things. I mean, it was crazy. My dad would come in the bunkhouse and he'd have a can of Spam or a can of Vienna. You guys hungry? I'm like, not now. God love him. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, Dad, what was you thinking? I mean, that's what he ate. Here's the deal. That's not food. Those are sea rations. They're going to be around forever. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't eating that, Jack. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, don't do that to family members. And I did too. My mom fried up Spam sandwiches. And you can repent of that. Spam's not a sandwich. It's when you've run out of all options. I mean, you go eat. Some people came, I got to tell this story. Some people come by from California to visit my dad. And they go, and they were there. We're all at the farm doing stuff. And they go, we're gonna go in your dad's camper there, and we're going to get some food. We're going to make some lunch. I go, Dad ain't got no food in there. It's a true story. And the one girl looks out the screen door. He goes, he doesn't have any food in here. I said, I told you. No one considers Vienna sausages as food. Hey, by the way, what's the jelly that's on them? You want to anoint me now, don't you? Because I was around it. Don, what I'm trying to say is the people, and we laugh, but back Franny and Malachi's day, these people were doing this and go, "Woo, God's Carol, God's going to be really happy about me, because I brought one of my lambs out of the herd back there, and I gave it to God. God's going, man, don't bring that here. You're bringing a mess here. I want the best that you got. Amen." I mean, wouldn't you want the best for your children? I told you about that. I got to say this. I was sitting in my office one time. We had our little church on the Rock Road, and I'm looking out the window. And I see some guy dumping a bed at the, by the clothing bin. When you got a clothing bin, they think they can drop mechanical things off there. And I'm like, it's a clothes bin. So he's dropping a bed off there. And I come running down in the park. I go, hey, dude, what are you doing with this bed here? And he goes, man, we don't need it anymore, and I don't want it. And he goes, do you want it? And I go, no, load it back on your truck. Hey, man, if you don't want it, I surely don't want it. Now, if you go out and buy a new one, I'd be more than happy to give it to somebody, but I don't want to give one that's got pee stains on it. Oh, don't act like I wasn't going to say it. I mean, if you got... But that's what they were wanting to do in Malachi's day. So after a while, he said, you need to repent, repent, repent. And then God was silent for 400 years. People were starving for a word from God. They were starving, like, man, I can't wait till God starts speaking to us again. And all of a sudden, here you go 400 years later, and it's John the Baptizer. And you know what I like about John the Baptizer? He'd be a member at Have Bible Will Travel. Oh, he dresses like some of you guys do. So John the Baptizer, we're like, hey, where's John the Baptizer? He's out in the woods. What's he dressed like? Well, he's got a potato sack and a leather belt around his waist. And what's he eating? Honey and locusts. Yeah, sign him up. He's a member at Half Bible. You know what I like about John the Baptist most than anything? He's a truth teller. Amen. One more, he's a standard bearer. Amen. Out of everybody, and I'm going to get to this, Randy, out of everybody in the world to pick for a front runner for Jesus, he picks a cat like John the Baptist. I could sit on the tailgate and eat an ice cream with this dude. John the Baptist, him and Paul. Me, John the Baptist. Can you imagine us all being in heaven? Me, John the Baptist, and the Apostle Paul. Praise Jesus. Amen? I don't know. I mean, that's great company. I mean, I don't think God's going to put me there with them guys. But it's like, where's Rankin? And he said, you see that tough shed down back? Let's get into it. So I just wanted to set this up for you so you understand when the Pharisees and the scribes come to look for this guy, they're going to find John the Baptizer. It's kind of weird how God uses people like me and you to get the most important messages of the whole world out. Amen? I mean, let's be honest. That when he uses people like me and you, they look at us and they go, it's got to be Jesus. Because Rankin's not smart enough to do any of this on his own. Hallelujah. Let's get into it. Here it is.
Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So I kind of explained that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So wherever you go with the light of Jesus in your life, you're going to illuminate a dark place, no matter how dark it is. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm not going to sing it, but I know you want me to. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So he said, I'm not Christ, I'm not the light, but I'm going to bear witness about it. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. So they knew he was in the world, and he was kind of walking around. They seen him up the street. He said, isn't that the carpenter's son? And maybe they say that about you. You know, you're a Christian. We know you. We knew about you. You live up the street or whatever. And they knew that he was around, but they didn't know he was the Christ. They didn't know he was the Messiah. He's getting ready to come into his public ministry here. He's about 30 years old, and John the Baptizer meets him here shortly. Let's get back. Let's go to 12. It says, but to all who did receive him who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So know this, it's not only a right, but it's a privilege to be a child of Almighty God. Amen. It's a privilege. It's the best thing in the whole wide world to read God's word, to be here with other Christians. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to live in the United States of America. It's a privilege to own a Bible. It's a privilege to fly the flag. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh. Now we're talking about Jesus actually taking on flesh and dwelt among us. So he's experienced everything you experience. He understands everything that you've been through in your family. And I can serve a God like that, amen? Not one that's sitting up in some ivory tower on a glass chair. He's experienced everything you've experienced and then some. And we have seen his glory. Glory as one, the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth, favor and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this is the one of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. So he actually says he's been here way before me. Even though he was born after me, he was here way before me. He said he's just manifesting himself in the natural now, so you can all see him, so you can all believe in him, so you can all trust in him. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And let me talk to you about grace upon grace. Say that with me, grace upon grace. That's favor on top of favor. And if, and close your eyes, and when I say this, you go, well, I'd really love to have some favor in my life. Here's the deal. Grace upon grace is unmerited favor. When you use the favor that he's given you, he'll give you more after that. Open up your eyes. It says that he gives a measure of grace to each person who's born again. He can't give you too much. If you got too much favor, you wouldn't do well with it. Amen? And I talked about that power, whatever, you know, when you're just got born again and you just got delivered out of all addictions, you don't want to say, okay, God, I'm delivered out of all addictions. Give me $1 million in my bank. Look at me. Mm-mm. He's not going to do that. Why? Because he knows you'll end up getting in trouble with it. You know, the stuff that you wished for. When you first got born again, aren't you glad you didn't get back then, because you couldn't handle it and you would have been a bad witness for the Lord or your family? You're like, okay, I got saved. I want to be like Billy Graham now. No, you don't. Be like who you're supposed to be like and use the favor that God has given you. Hallelujah. Verse 8, let's go down to 18. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And this is the testimony of John. So here it comes. This is the big middle part of the message. Be ready for this. And I love this part. Randy, listen to this. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Let's go back to this here for a second. The testimony of John. So the Jews, the priests, and Levi. So all of them people are up there on the bank. They go, "Hey, you know what? We seen John the Baptizer down on the Jordan. And he's not dressed for church." God says, "Yeah, he is. Amen. He's doing church." And religious people are freaking out. They go, "How in the world can John be baptizing so many people? He hasn't even taken the membership class." Amen? I mean, religious people can't figure out when the Holy Spirit is moving, because God doesn't want a religion. He wants relationship. God doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. And he wants a relationship with you today. He don't care how you're dressed. He don't care what you own. He don't care what kind of car you drive. He don't care what kind of motorcycle. Well, I take that back. I got you, didn't I? You go, "Hey, man." Oh, I've owned them all, so it don't matter. You know, isn't that just like religious people sometimes? They think you gotta fit in the box. Look at your neighbor and say, "I don't fit in a box, Jack. You can't put cats like us in a box." Oh, I got to tell you about the Yellowstone. Don't send me an email. Somebody said something to me when I was walking out of church last night. They go, "Oh, you got a Yellowstone. Did you like that?" I've never watched the show. After it got to a couple of F words, I quit watching it. But I loved the shirt because it was on the bargain rack at Tractor Supply last night. So I bought a couple of them. So you can send your friend an email. No, he doesn't watch Yellowstone. But he did get it off the bargain rack at Tractor Supply last night in Troy. Can I get a witness from God's people? Tell your neighbor, don't be mad. Tell him, "Don't be mad, don't be mad. Don't be mad because he's got a new T-shirt on." And you know, and I think I'm getting, I'll just tell you this, I think I'm getting a bargain because it's like $14.99. My wife finds one just like it that's $11.99. And she takes that one to the register. "They're $11.99, ma'am." She goes, okay. Just a little insight to our world. It's what we do for fun. Where does he buy his clothes? Now you know. I'm trying to bring you into this. Diane, I'm trying to bring you in here because John the Baptist is down there baptizing people, but all the religious nut jobs can't figure it out. They go, "Why is he baptizing so many people? What's he doing down there?" Go down there, Lamont, and check out what's going on. Amen? We're having church there. We're pleasing God there. People are getting baptized there. They're repenting there. They're getting full of joy down there. They're on the muddy banks of the Jordan. Oh, I got to go here now. Guys like mud. And I know that, and you know that, ladies. They can be up in a dry field riding their four-wheelers. And after a while, they're going down to get in the mud. Say this with me, Lesterville. Yeah. Don't act like you ain't been there. You're as a redneck as I am. And if your truck or your Jeep can't get through it, jack it up.
Amen.
Amen? Bigger tires. That's John the Baptizer. And that's why he's baptizing down in the Jordan. So let's keep the story going. And they ask him, "What then, are you Elijah?" Because our Jewish friends are waiting for Elijah to come back. But we know that John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah. And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? So listen to this. So he's going, we got to go back. We're having religion class tonight. We got to give these guys an answer what it is you're doing down here on the Jordan. He said, I'm baptizing people and I'm barbecuing steak. Amen. Amen. I'm baptizing people. Here's what he says in verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He said, I'm the one in the wilderness. I'm calling out. You guys need to get baptized. You need to get saved. You need to give your life to Jesus. People have been prophesying this for years. Noah said it. And people were walking by his boat. Oh, he's crazy. They said the same thing to John the Baptist. I don't listen to him. He's got long hair, a beard. He goes to have Bible, will travel. Don't listen to him. He's a nut. But you know what he's doing? He's speaking the truth. Amen. He's a standard bearer and he's a truth teller. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? But that's what God's called us to do. So I'm going to ask you to be obedient here and rise up for the next five verses here. I want you to listen to this. So we're going to hit it here in a minute. We got five verses here. And then we got the Lord's table set. So each person just do whatever's going on in your heart. I'm not sure what it is. Just kind of take inventory of what's going on in your heart. We're all here for a reason, and some of us aren't really sure. So I did this last night. Donna did this last night. It's called an altar call. And then there were some people there that got saved last night after I gave the altar call. They got born again. They got born again right there. And I was talking to a few different people there. And be ready for this. Be ready for the big ending. It's kind of wild. And anything that has to do with John the Baptizer and Christ and God. Watch this. It's a little wild. It's a little wild being a Christian. It's not a balancing act. Havy, it's a reality check. All these kids that are going to go back to school on Monday and wherever y'all are at, these are little Christians that are going to let their light shine wherever they go because they're being taught the Word of God today. Amen? It's going to be the next generation. They're going to have the Word of God hidden in their heart so that they won't sin against God. I think our future looks bright when kids are in church, don't you? Amen. So be ready for this. This is kind of... I think I caught everybody off guard last night when I said this. Verse 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you're neither Christ nor John or the prophet? John answered, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He said, you guys don't even know who this guy is. You don't even know who he is. You don't even know the power he possesses. Remember about the power that you could wield if you were Christ? You'd be throwing it around dangerously. People would be blown off the highway and somebody talk back to you or whatever. You'd be wielding the power recklessly. God's not reckless. He knows exactly what he's doing. He says, even he who comes after me, the strap of those sandals, I'm not worthy to untie. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe, Troy. He's too powerful. He's too mighty. Can you imagine being able to possess that kind of power and walking around like Jesus did in his sandals and everything? You guys know him now because you're born again. Could you imagine back in that day him walking down the Jordan? John the Baptist knew about him. And when he came on the scene, he did one of these. Watch what he says. You ever kind of look around for somebody when you're kind of looking high and low and you're kind of looking around? I'm setting you up for this. Watch what happens here. Even he who comes after me, the strap of those sandals I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now there's kind of a crowd gathered around there. Remember this, nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. What does he say, class? Stop. Here he comes. It's Jesus, the one who takes away the sin of the world, not covers the sin, takes it away. Oh, hold on for a second. We didn't know that. We didn't know it was him. Well, watch this, class. Now you do. Now you do. Now you do. It's Jesus. Say this with me. It's Jesus that takes away the sins of the world. He's the Lamb of God. And Chris, last night I said this. I said, if he was to come through this door right now, the rapture's going to happen and his spirit comes blowing through the door to start rapturing everybody up. Would you go or would you be left behind? Let's drop the house lights down for just a little bit. Did you hear what I said? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's up in the clouds and he sent his spirit here to elevate the church up. You go, hold on now, Pastor. Isn't there some more things that need to happen in prophecy for Jesus to come back? Look at me. No. And here's what I told the church. Rankin family's ready to go. Amen. Rankin family's ready to go. I don't apologize for preaching the gospel. Watch this, to nobody. So when he comes to get my family, I'll put my hand up like this, Elizabeth. I'll say all the Rankins, all the generations down, they're ready to go. What will you say? Well, I'm not ready. You'll be fumbling around. Well, I didn't go to religion. He said, I don't want religion. I want a relationship with you. I want to know if you know me as Lord and Savior. I take away the sin of the world. I have come back to rapture the church. Will you be caught up or will you be left behind? The answer has to be today. Today. Choose who you will serve. Or maybe you're saved. And maybe when you're caught up, you're looking down and your family's still there. Don't take your eyes off of me. I can't have, hold on, Scott, I can't have that on my conscience. Well, how about your church, Rankin? God, I gave him the word. Every week I gave him the word. It ain't on my head. Amen. I'm not one of these willy-nilly preachers afraid to preach the gospel. But I surely don't want to be the preacher when I'm caught up into the clouds looking down and say, I told you so. But today I'm telling you, if you're not born again today, knowing what we know about what's going on in society, you could be left behind. I'll just be frank with you today. Right. You can just kind of look around in society and just go, you know, he's got to come back. He can't stand much more of this because the stench has probably reached his nostrils by now. Amen. Would you agree, church, today? Yes. All right. Let's be careful now. I don't think I've ever felt, honestly, Bertley, in my life why I actually thought Jesus was coming back quick. And if you were to interview the Copes who've been in church for a long time, they could probably see the different stages or love keys of the arts. And you say, well, we thought he was coming back. And then now you interview them now, they would go, he's coming back. He's coming back probably today. Amen. That's real. That's real-time gospel. Because God doesn't like sin. And that's why he sent his son Jesus. Right, right. So let me pray for you.
Let me pray for you.
And young person and old person and everybody in between. Especially people who are being deployed. Maybe there's young people that are out there in this church or other churches across the land who are being deployed on Monday. Can you imagine sending a young person into battle for the United States of America and them not know the gospel of Jesus Christ? You as a preacher or a mommy or a daddy need to tell your children before they're deployed or before they leave the church today, you have to be born again, little Johnny or little Susie. Or little Taylor, you have to be saved. Mickey, I couldn't let my kids out of my sight unless I knew they were saved. We're living in the most crazy times we've ever lived in. So I'll ask you the same question I ask at every single service. Do you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus? And if your head's not shaking, yes, then it's probably shaken no. And that means you probably have never given your life to Jesus. So I'm going to give you the same opportunity all preachers across America do every Sunday morning. Would you like to be born again so that you're not left behind? And if that's you, be brave this morning. Be a soldier for the Lord. Just raise your arm and say, I would like to be saved today. I want my soul, I want my body to be resurrected. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I see you there, sir. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me for this gentleman and this lady who has raised their hand to be saved today? Do you know what happens when somebody is saved? All the angels in heaven are rejoicing, according to Luke 15:10. They're having a party that somebody wants to give their life to Jesus. Now I'm going to ask this gentleman to come down here so we can pray for him. And we want to lay hands on him. So I'm going to ask you, dear sir, to come down this way. And as he comes down here, I want you to applaud that he's willing to give his life to Jesus today to come out of darkness. Oh! Oh! Come on, guys. Get around, sister. Come on. I need somebody that loves Jesus to pray for this sister. Snatched away from the devil. Church, I said they're snatched from the devil.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Wonder work and power in the Spirit of Almighty God. He said, Pastor, I've never been in a church where people get saved. Now you have. Amen. Now you have. This is what it looks like. I'm going to pray for them right now. And these dear saints, their life will never be the same. Can you testify that with me? Their life's never the same. You're not the same person. You came in with this agenda. I'm just going to go because he invited me, or I seen him on TV again. I really can't stand him, but I'm coming anyways. I'm coming anyways. And then they run right into God. We're going to anoint them for the battle ahead. Aren't you happy about when somebody gets saved? I am. I think it's the greatest thing in the whole wide world. Brother, I want to pray for you right now. And sister, I want to pray for you right now. And know that you've made the greatest decision you'll ever make. And we want to be part of your life. We want to set you on a path for success. Father God, I just want to pray for this precious family here today. They want to receive Jesus. They invite him into their heart right now. Just say this, say, Dear Jesus, come into my life.
And
fill my heart.
I receive you now
as my Lord and Savior.
Help me live for you.
In thy name of Jesus we pray.
In
his church said, Amen.
Amen.
Let's celebrate. Hallelujah.